are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, join the 100,000-plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns Backers Worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all of sports. It includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit BrownsBackers.org. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Full bank of calls at 216-578-0850. You want to get aboard with us. Also tweet at us at Browns_Daily. Megan Rock is tweeting throughout this show. She's going to put together the Browns Daily Wrap, which you will see posted, the text highlight of this show.
Yeah, Rock.
Later today, ClevelandBrowns.com. That's right. She has just got that covered. Does a great job of that. All right, let's go to Pittsburgh. I'm going to say hi to Nick. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to touch up on some free agent wide receivers. You know, we put that offer sheet out for Hawkins, who would have been nice with his speed and everything. But there's a few other, people I'm thinking of, like, you know, Edelman. And what about Lance Moore from the Saints? I know he had a down season last year, but he played over, I think it was like 52% from the slot. I mean, he still has good hands. He just battled through some injuries, and I just wanted to see what your guys' thoughts were on Lance Moore and bringing him back to Ohio, maybe.
Go ahead.
I was saying, my take on Lance Moore is that if you get a guy who was declining in a situation that behooves production, that's a red flag for me. Lance Moore's been battling injury for a couple of years now. He had the great season in 2012, over 1,000 yards. But if you're not cutting it with Drew Brees and not producing at the level that you should in a Drew Brees offense, and they're willing to cut you and let you go, if that's a red flag to me.
That's red flag. That's alarms.
He's 30. He's in his 30s. I believe he's 31 years old.
Yeah.
You look at Lance Moore, it's a guy who has been very productive for the most part. Last year, though, took a big nosedive off of that, and you just wonder how much does he have left in the tank. Also, he's a guy who historically, when you go back and look at his games, was much more effective on turf than he was on grass. That obviously doesn't help him coming to the Cleveland Browns. I'd much rather have an Emmanuel Sanders. I'd much rather have a Julian Edelman, although I think his price tag might be too high. I think Sanders is a guy that's a very nice fit for this team, and the fact that he can play inside, he can play outside, he knows the division well, he's a tough guy. So he's somebody who's a little bit more appealing to me right now than a guy like Lance Moore, who I think is very much on the decline, unfortunately.
Good guy, Lance Moore. Had multiple opportunities to be around him, covering the Saints with NFL.com at the times that I got to their games. And a solid person. You wouldn't mind having him in your locker room for sure. But in terms of, as you point out, just the production thing, and age is another issue here. The age factor to go along with declining production, you've got to look at. And it just doesn't help. I mean, the idea is to just say, well, they got to get receiver help. Just get somebody. I recognize the name. Get him. That is not how you go about this process. And some of the other names you've mentioned so far are names like Edelman, who, if you're signing them now, you're signing them at the higher price that you might not need to sign them for, because we don't know what the competition is. You can be smart about this. You don't have to do a grab just to make sure you get the guy and get it done. I don't think the Browns have to go about it that way. And I do think the draft offers options that makes going after receiver in free agency less of a priority. I think this team, look at what they've done. Follow the pattern. They've made, right now, it's three defensive moves and an offensive move if you count the Hawkins offer sheet, by report, at least. We don't know if they're official yet, and this far into the day, we're still, you know, waiting for that official word. We expect to fully get it. There's no reason to think we're not getting official word on all these transactions, but we just don't have it yet for you. But it's defense, and it's Mike Pettin setting a tone and Ray Farmer being right aboard with him together, saying, you know, let's make sure we're solid in these middle spots. They went into, I think, the decision process to waive to say goodbye to DeQuell Jackson, waive him, to know that you weren't going to retain T.J. Ward all done with the idea of targeting the two people they brought in. Not a coincidence that those were the first two signs. They didn't just say, okay, got these holes to fill, how are we doing it? All these moves work in conjunction with each other.
No, that says to me, these are the guys we wanted all along when we did our evaluations of what was going to be out there. We're going to make that move. That's where we're going. And that's how I believe that it played out right there. Let's go to Mark in Cleveland now. Wants to talk about the offensive line. We know the Browns need a guard. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, guys, first of all, I want to say I love listening to you. I like Nathan. I like your youthful enthusiasm. And Vic is closer to my age, so I like him for that. Love Motown Fridays.
So you miss Motown Fridays, for the record?
Absolutely.
All right, we got to get some of, at least, and Jason Gibbs, our producer, will talk about this, and we'll talk about it with the Suits in Berea, too, to make sure everybody's aboard with us, because Suits got to sign off on this stuff, too. But we're going to get everybody together and say, at least if we don't do it every Friday, at least occasional Fridays, because, Mark, guys like yourself and others are into that. You know what? Nathan's cool enough to like Motown Fridays, too.
Absolutely. as far as the guard, I'm concerned about that. I like what they're doing. They're not spending a whole lot of money, and they're getting older guys, which I think the team needs since they're so young. So now I'm a little concerned about a guard. And what do you think about the guy that Jacksonville just dropped?
I know you're talking about. You're talking about Uche Nwaneri, and I'm sure I butchered his name.
That's pretty good. I think you actually got it right.
29 years old, not considered to be very good. He could be. He's better on the run game, which is something that the Browns need. I'm guessing, and I don't know if this is right. Now, he's a possibility, but it seems to me, if I'm, you know, kind of reading between the lines here, and I don't know that I am. I could be reading the wrong thing between the lines. But it does seem to me that given the fact that there are a couple very good guards in the draft, Yankee, the guy from UCLA, maybe that's what the Browns go for at 26 or 35. They maybe go quarterback, wide receiver, and guard and try to address it during the draft, because I don't know that there is a solution out there right now that is nearly as good or comforting as what they might be able to get in the draft.
Yeah, I think that's the key is what's available, and it's a priority. It's something that has to be addressed. And as more time goes on, we had this discussion with Mary Kay Cabot a short while ago, as more time expires, the less that you would think is going to be a case where Alex Mack is going to stay a Brown. I mean, the more you think that's going to happen, I should say, the less chances of him getting this so-called offer the Browns can't match. And part of me was ready to kind of laugh at that a little bit, but I never – you always expect the unexpected. But I know a lot of work was done by some really smart people who are lawyers in the National Football League to prevent – the poison pill thing from happening again and offers to be made and getting through loopholes. I don't know. That just sounded pretty hollow. And honestly, it sounded to me like an agent trying to drum up business, talk to the rest of the league and said, don't be bashful. Give our guy an offer. Because at the very least, he's sitting there saying, hey, the Browns could match it. And my guy gets this money and I get my take from that money.
Right. Exactly. And right. And I think as this goes on, you know, one of the things they might be waiting to see is what happens with the Mack situation, because if that does happen, you either have to draft a center, sign a center, move Greco over. You don't know how it's going to play out. But you look at, you know, the guard landscape in the draft, there are four guys who are thought of pretty highly. Xavier Suafilo from UCLA was talking about, David Yankee from Stanford, Gabe Jackson from Mississippi State, and Brandon Thomas from Clemson. One of those guys should be available at 26 or 35 for sure, and maybe another one at the beginning of the third round if that's the way that the Browns decide to go. It seems to me we still have Jason Pinkston on the roster, so perhaps that is that they're going to go in there, draft somebody, have Pinkston be kind of the swing guy that can play both positions and go from that direction.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, is to see what you have internally. And once again, it's going to be all about Kyle Shanahan's evaluation of these linemen and how they're able to move and how they're able to take on the responsibility of a zone blocking scheme where you are, you know, gonna get that motion thing to the outside in the running game, how much stamina you can have and how much you can stay on your feet and stay healthy. I mean, these are all the question marks that are lingering with this football team, and we'll see how those play themselves out. But I do think the draft is a way to go there. I think you can get younger at the O-line position without necessarily getting worse at it with certain right. components, and then complementing what you already
and
have.
And really, the top four guards on the market have all been signed. Jeff Schwartz, Chad Reinhart, John Asamoah, and right. Zane Beadles have all been signed. Travell Wharton saying he's retiring. Willie Colon's coming off of a torn bicep. Brian Waters, these are old players at this yeah. point. So there really isn't a whole lot out there at the guard position. I thought if the Browns were going to make a run, it would have been for a guy like Jeff Schwartz or John Asamoah. They got pretty good deals. And the shocking one to me, maybe the biggest surprise of all, is that Sean Laval signed a four-year, $17 million deal.
It is. I mean, maybe he'll be a good fit for that next team. He didn't do it for me with the Browns, and I know he didn't do it with his previous coaching staff, and I didn't have a lot of faith that he would be a good fit for Kyle Shanahan's scheme. But good luck to Sean, and good move. I'm happy for him. I'm happy he's seeing the love and the money. Much more coming up on CBD.